Yes, hello and welcome in. It's time for another episode of Less Than Jays, and we are in a much worse place.
It's a vibe shift.
The proverbial worm has turned. I did a market down on Monday when they lost two straight, because I was like, not that it seemed like a trend, but I was like, I can see a narrative coming that, you know, they go 5-1 on a homestand, they win six straight at one point, losing one game shouldn't be a like pause for disaster, but there was a trend that was starting in those two games that continued to the next two games. After that, the Blue Jays have been swept by the Boston Red Sox. I gotta tell you, I like the 2022 Boston Red Sox a lot more than the 2023 Boston Red Sox. Four straight losses, bullpen blow-up, starting pitching, giving up runs. Just bad taste in the mouth. Really not fun series to watch.
Yeah, ugly baseball, I think you could call it. Taking the pitching out of it for a second, which I'm sure we'll get to, the whole getting back to fundamentals, getting back to clean baseball thing that had been so focused on in the offseason and so highlighted, and justifiably so, in the first 4 weeks of the season, disappeared in the last 4 days.
Dog shit.
Lots of mistakes, errors, not outstanding plate appearances, and then, of course, also the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, look at the last five games. 10 runs against to the Mariners on Sunday, 6 runs against on Monday, 7 runs against on Tuesday, 8 runs against on Wednesday, and 11 runs against today on Friday. That's a lot of runs again when the lowest scoring game is 6. It's just too many runs. I mean, the bullpen, I think gave up at one point, had given up 6 home runs in 11 innings. The starting pitching, not much better. Gausman tonight, 10 earned. Kikuchi the day before gave up a bunch of home runs. Really just frustrating to watch. As you said, ugly baseball. Yamanoa, 8 hits and 2 earned. In his go through continues to be a question mark. The Tuesday game was the Kikuchi game. It was not a bounce back. He struggled with 9 hits and 5 earned, didn't get out of the fifth. And to open the series, Jose Berríos, 11 hits and 5 earned, and some questionable bullpen choices in that one, to leave him in and let him get hit and blow that game. It's just frustrating. Just really frustrating to watch. Really, as you said, ugly, ugly baseball.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, I don't think that everything we praised 7 days ago is like magically gone, to sprinkle a little bit of optimism on there. But I do think just as the good is still there, and, you know, lose, it's 4-5 game losing streak. It's a 162 game season. It's just May. Lots of time to course correct. I thought it was kind of weird that there was like talk on the internet the last couple days of like, should the Jays be sellers? And like, even the way John Schneider was sort of talking about it last night struck me as odd. The way he was sort of talking about how, this streak doesn't define our season and blah, blah, blah. Like, he was talking like it was, they had lost 3 straight in the ALCS. Which, like, I guess, you know, we spent years complaining that Charlie was saying everything's fine, so maybe we should all take a step back sometimes. But, I don't think this is like the end of it all or anything, but I do think that all of the causes of the last 5 games, outside of some of the errors, which were unexpected from some of those guys, But for the rest of it, it's all sort of question marks we had going into the season that are just having a spotlight really shined on them with most of the bullpen guys, with, you know, the bottom of the order, with, you know, the starting pitching, although, you know, you can say that Gausman was a surprise today. And also on John Schneider. I think that we can't, you know, we've discussed at length on this show in the last year about how neither of us believe that, like, baseball managers really swing the game that much compared to some other sports. But Schneider's had an interesting week of some questionable bullpen management, some questionable game management. I think, was it the Monday game where he sent out that terrible bunt idea with runner on second and nobody out? It just, you know, it's not end of the world stuff. It's not calling for his head stuff. But, you know, he is also at fault with a lot of what's going on the field right now.
Lots to digest there. Obviously, the start with, I agree with you that, you know, we're not saying this is a fundamentally broken team, and all the stuff that was good from earlier is washed away. Team slump, long season, things go up and down. It's, as we've said often, a living, breathing organism. But yeah, I mean, the first two losses of this streak, you could sort of look at and go, should have used Mesa earlier. And that was like it for Sunday and Monday. It was like, yeah, should have gone to Mesa. Didn't quite organize the bullpen quite right. Let some wins get away from them. And then Pop has had a bit of a bad run the last little bit. Now he looks like he's hurt. Not sure who that's going to be. I feel like it's going to be Trent Thornton.
That'll fix it.
Going to Anthony Bass, in the bigger blowout game, a mistake for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the bunt thing. In that exact same situation earlier this year, when Kiermaier got the bunt down, we were like, it's nice to have guys that we know will get the bunts down, and then the same guy doesn't get it down a week later. Just so it goes to show the fickle nature of sort of how it goes. But yeah, just sort of a acknowledgement that, as frustrating as it may be, we are not saying this is a lost cause, this is a disaster. It's a slump. It just so happens that doing it in Fenway sucks really bad, and doing it the way they did it sucks really bad. But that's one of the things you touched on there that I think are important to mention. They really are not getting much from the bottom of the lineup. Kevin Biggio just might not be a major league hitter. I think that might just be, you know, we've done through this a couple of years. I think we've given him plenty.
It's been 4 years of the same conversation with Kevin. Like, he can see the ball and he can't hit it.
Yeah, he has a command of the strike zone, but I don't know that anybody is scared of throwing him strikes right now, which is just sort of how it is. That you have to prove, you have to earn that, you have to earn it. Espinal has not been great. The catching tandem, Jansen's finding his footing, but still has a ways to go. Kirk is drawing walks, but not hitting for a ton of power. The Kiermaier, he is who he is. He's back to who he is. 272, 326, 410. Like, it's even that's probably going to go down a little bit. Merrifield's been good. Varsho has struggled. Springer has really struggled. Belt is hurtling towards. Hey, did you know that Brandon Belt played for the Blue Jays for 60 games before he retired? Like, hurtling towards that rapid speed. It's been Bichette, it's been Guerrero, it's been Chapman, and that's about it. There's been some Kiermaier games, there's been some Merrifield hits, there's been some Kirk moments, some clutch hits from Jansen, clutch hits from Dalton, but game in, game out, it's just been the top three guys. And maybe that's, I don't know if it's a bigger concern or a smaller concern, but it's definitely something interesting to sort of chart here that, you know, without Chapman, like, single-handedly being the best hitter in baseball, and without Bo really consistently being good, they could be in some much deeper trouble than they currently are.
Yeah, I think it's sort of telling, and not necessarily in a good way, that Vlad is sort of doing what we all wanted Vlad to do this year, and they're still not winning games. Because, as you said, it's like, it's a three-headed offense, and then that's it. Varsho getting a little better. I'm starting to think that George Springer is broken. I hate to say it, but I feel like maybe being severely injured for two straight seasons and then getting horrendously concussed didn't help him very much. Lots of time to be proven wrong, but I am concerned about old George. I think it's, you know, last week we were talking how sort of the cracks that are there can be plastered over at the deadline. And now it's just starting to look like those cracks are actually like holes that should be filled rather than just sort of covered up. Because as you said, the DH slot is pretty close to a black hole. Obviously, both catchers can't play every day. It's just the unfortunate life of a catcher. And I guess that's sort of the risk you run with your second best, you know, your best DH option being another catcher. But they can't play every day. As you say, Belt is maybe not an answer. Biggio and Espinal certainly are not. And then you're sort of living and dying on our wit and Kiermaier going to show up today. I don't know. I know this isn't why they lost any of the games, but like, why is Nathan Lucas still on the team?
Well, you do make a pretty good point with not why they lost any of the games. Like, they put up runs on the other half of that. Like, they put up their share of runs in this series, right?
That's
5,
true.
6, 5, 3, 8 against the Mariners. I think I'm a little further along the believer in George Springer than he's had some balls hit very hard that have gotten caught. Just the in between hasn't looked very good, and when it's not going, it looks pretty bad. But a lot of the rate stuff is, that's not all-star level, but it's above average, which is sort of likable. Yeah, there's sort of two ways, I think, to frame the lack of production from outside of the big three. Is you can very rightfully say, this needs to be an upgrade, this is an issue, this needs to be addressed. Or you can sort of look at it the other way and say, this is all due to bounce a little bit. Springer is due to become a contributor again, and Jano is due to get up to his norms, and Varsho is due to go on a bit of a hot run and get himself up a little bit, at least to league average. You can sort of look at it two different ways. Espinal, same story. Belt and Biggio, maybe not going to be a thing. I guess the question on the Lucas piece is who is replacing him? Because there is, Andrew Stoughton wrote about it, there is not really anybody, and Belt the same story, and Biggio the same story. There's nobody beating the door down at AAA right now that you're like, the Addison Barger thing, he's been hurt, and he's not hit very well. Otto Lopez has not hit very well. Spencer Horwitz is sort of the, if you had to have a guy that's on the 40 man and is hitting well and is available, Spencer Horwitz could be your guy, but that's not especially appealing either, is it?
No, and I think it's a flaw in offseason roster construction, to be honest. It's what we harped on from January to April. Like, this is why they needed that fourth outfield bat. This is, like, I know Belt was maybe going to be that. But, I don't know, it seems like for a team trying to win the world, this is not about the offense, it's about the pitching, but I think it holds as, like, as an idea. During the game today, right before Zach Pop got hurt, Ben Nicholson-Smith tweeted that even though Pop has had his moments this year, maybe the Jays should option him for a fresh arm, because he's the only guy with options left. And while I understand the logic there, to me, that's sort of a metaphor for my problems with how they constructed this roster to begin with, in that, like, taking the fact that that Zach Pop got shelled and then hurt today out of it, but, like, he at least showed something this year where you have guys like Bass, who's been just horrendous, and it's like, yeah, he doesn't have options left, but if you're a team trying to win the World Series, keep the good player and just lose the bad player, or Trevor Richards, And I just, I feel like the fourth outfield bat or extra DH bat or whatever you want to call it, it feels like that to me, where it's just like they've constructed a very good team and they've done it smartly and they've done it well. And I'm not trying to take away the positives of the front office and what they've done in the last couple of years, because I genuinely do think they've made some really great moves. Even moves I didn't like have turned out to be pretty decent, like the Teoscar trade. Swanson's awesome. You can argue with, you know, when that trade was made and could they have gotten more, etc. But, you know, they've done a good job. The thing that I feel like they're not necessarily good at or not fully able to do is sort of, and again, I'm making this claim after like a 5-game losing streak in May, so like grain of salt a little bit, but it feels like, I felt like this last year and I feel like it's this year too, where they're just that extra little push. They're not great at that, where it's like, oh, we need more bullpen arms. Well, let's get a bunch of the same guy, but we'll get a lot of them, rather than let's just go get one, pay one of those guys who just throws gas and strikes guys out no matter, and we know that's going to happen. And same with that bench bat or fourth outfielder bat or whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, I know it's not as simple as just go get the guy, but it is kind of that simple as go get the guy when they were available. Obviously that's not the case now, but I'm thinking more hindsight to like February, March.
Sure. You know, the Eric Swanson could be considered going and getting the guy.
Yep, that's true.
And boy, Trevor Richards,
like, catching, get three more of them.
Trevor Richards catching a stray there. If you were to name relievers on the team that have better numbers than Trevor Richards, you would not have a very long list right now. you go Mesa, who has the best ERA in the bullpen.
That feels impossible to me. I know it's true. It just feels impossible.
You would go Swanson, and then you would be at Trevor Richards.
Well, doesn't that kind of... I feel like that makes my point. His ERA is 3.5. He's a reliever.
Jimmy Garcia has struggled. Anthony Bass could be cut. You can count Pearson. Pearson's been great and fun to watch. Yeah, it goes up and down when you're a bullpen guy, right? We could be sitting here in a week and a half and be like, wow, Bass has really turned it around and Pop has really blown up, and it can happen, right? Sometimes it doesn't, but it can
bounce back. Bass has been so bad. Taking aside the fact that I hate him, like, he's been so bad.
It's good that both of those things have happened at the same time.
The thing about Anthony Bass is he gets scored on a lot, but at least he doesn't strike anybody out.
Yeah, he keeps them all in play. You got to give him that for the home run clock. The home run has sort of been the issue in the bullpen lately. They've just been giving up home runs versus even getting things hacked on. It's been the long ball, especially in the last little bit, which is never fun to watch and never fun to see and never fun to do. It is an interesting spot. Some other news in terms of relief help or guys coming on the way. Ricky Tiedemann, arm exploded. Great.
Don't hold on to prospects.
Great.
It's almost never worth it.
I mean, listen, if you're... I'll say this. I'll caution the blow here, Jake, if you need me to. If you're worried about this, I'd say don't be worried about this.
Yeah, I mean, also that, yeah.
I mean, this sort of stuff happened to Nate Pearson a few years ago, and now he's like the sixth best reliever that they have. So, all good. Nothing to worry about. Hopefully he's fine. Hopefully he's fine. Oh my God.
Imagine what Moreno Tiedemann could have fetched in the offseason.
I mean, Dalton Varsho is my guess, given what they actually did trade that guy for.
Well, plus Tiedemann.
Yeah, who knows?
I know. I'm cranky, but I don't know. If he's seriously hurt, I stand by my don't hold on to prospects. Gut reaction.
It's tough. It's a tough scene. It just goes to show how these things go, right? When things were going well, you couldn't get enough good things, right? It was like every pitcher is going 7 innings, and every reliever can't be touched, and they aren't giving up runs, and Chapman and Guerrero and Bichette are the three best hitters in the league. And then one thing goes wrong, and now five things have gone wrong, and now three relievers are unusable, and your best prospect is hurt. and even Gosman's bad, and Barrios isn't fixed, and on and on and on and on and on. This is how it goes. Try to keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times. It's just sort of, I hate to drop it, Jake, but I might have to say for the first time all year.
Do it.
That's ball, you know.
It is. And like, you know, they've go play the Pirates next, in who are in a division where I don't think anybody's won a game in like 3 days.
That's true.
So, you know, if they go beat up on a bad Central team again, then that can get them back on the thing you get on when you're playing well, which word has escaped me. But that could help. And then, you know, then we have to sort of start having the, they only can only beat teams in the Central conversation again, which isn't true because they beat the Rays and the Yankees and the Astros, but I digress.
The 20-12 Pittsburgh Pirates.
Are they really? How? No one in the division's won anything in so long, it feels.
Yeah, they're still a game and a half up, but yeah, that's 20-12.
It'll be interesting.
Jays now fourth. Talk about divisions. Jays are fourth in the East behind the 19-14 Red Sox. I
hate that fucking division so much.
21-10 Orioles. 26-6 Rays. Not as much fun. This is not as much fun.
No. As you said last week, the evenly divided schedule is less fun when everyone also gets to do it.
Yankees 17-15 and are in fifth place in the division. worth noting, of course, 17-15 would be half a game back of the AL Central and half a game back of the AL West. Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get... That's not true. I was going to say it's hard to get two down. It's actually insanely easy to get two down. I wanted to do bring up one thing. You talked about this a couple times, and you brought it up on Twitter, and I think you're crazy for what you've even said here. You've said...
bring it. I like this. I like where you're going with this.
Feels bad that you only trust, I think you said, 4 or 5 of the bullpen guys.
Yeah, that number has probably shrunk to 3 now.
First of all, that's an insane number in general, because, you know, not many teams have 7 reliable bullpen guys, but I do not trust 4 or 5. I would say at any given time, it's like 2.
I think it's 2 now, yeah.
I trust Swanee, and I...
Swanson and Pearson, baby. Ride or die.
It probably is Pearson. How many times will I get burned with the I trust Nate Pearson conversation?
Hey, he's been good.
He has been good. It's probably Swanson and Romano, and then like... half a foot on the Pearson thing. It's probably 2.5. It's hard for me to ever get over 3, is what I would say. I don't trust Jimmy Garcia. I know that the numbers of the eye test maybe don't match up. He seems to be a guy that they're constantly like, ah, tough luck, but he looked good, like over and over again. And then you're looking at Richards, who I, all joking aside, with the numbers, never like seeing him come in.
No, absolutely not.
Meza, ERA of 1.04, but I feel like he's allowed every single runner that another reliever left him to score.
And I feel like also Meza's never, like, in moments you're like, oh, I gotta shut the door here. It's not the Tim Meza oeuvre.
You know what was so frustrating about the fact that on Sunday and Monday, they didn't go to Meza against lefties when they should have and lost those games? The number one thing that was frustrating was, like, you just knew that the next time they did go to Meza, it would be like a, really? You're going to Meza here spot? Why always me? I don't like it.
No, and again, this is sort of the Schneider thing, where it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst managing I've ever seen or anything. But there are some things you're like, oh, it's kind of a weird choice.
Yeah, haven't loved some of the choices, but you know, maybe this is a. It's a lot easier to do when the starters are giving you 7 innings, right?
Yes.
It's a lot easier to go, okay, Swanson and then Romano, or okay, Jimmy and then Romano, or.
And after this week, those, like, they were already not great, and now the bullpen arms are just, like, totally gassed. Thrown a lot of innings in the last 6 days.
We once again find ourselves looking at a weekend where we say, okay, Bassett, Barrios, and Kikuchi need to right the ship here, and we'll see if they can do it. Yeesh.
Hey.
Boy, what else? What else? I mean, yeah, we talked about Bijou. We talked about Belt. I guess we'll save a little bit later on in the season for, like, what can they do to... Who should they be targeting? It is April, or May, pardon me, after all, but... Discomfort.
Lots of time. Again, I'm not... I would say I'm not worried.
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned.
Yeah. That's not nearly as fun. That's a fact.
No. Last week was fantastic. I had a great
time. What a blast. Feet up, singing, whistling. The way it ought to be. They'll get back on the winning track. I think they will... I'm predicting a pretty good week. And for the Jays.
I hope so.
Spotlight of the Leafs has finally faded off them. Because they, ever since the Leafs won that first round series, the Jays haven't won a single game.
That must be what it was.
Got to be what it was. The monkey paw curled up. Speaking of them, we'll talk a little bit of Leafs, and we'll talk off topic for the Patreon here in just a moment, and then answer a quick mailbag for the main feed after this. Jake, let's open up the old mailbag. We did it late, admittedly. Yeah. So
limited mailbag today. That's okay.
It's limited. And that's okay.
If you want a longer show than this, all you have to do is subscribe to the Patreon to get a bonus segment, and then it'll be a long show.
Yeah. We talked about drywall.
Anchor hanging TVs.
What hanging TVs in the mailbag. At Less Than Jays on Twitter, lessthanjays@gmail.com, or 833-714-7774. We didn't threaten anybody this week, so we didn't get any voicemails. So it goes. Anyway, the 330 mailbag.
Because I didn't dare anybody this week.
That's true. That's true. That's right, Rufus.
Yeah, tell him, Rue.
First mailbag question comes from our old friend Blake Murphy, friend of
birthday boy,
friend almost. Of the show, yeah,
almost birthday boy. Will be birthday boy when this comes out.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Happy birthday, Blake!
Happy birthday, Blake! Thank you for all you do.
You did it.
He asks, Liam Hendricks now or Liam Hendricks in July?
I felt slightly guilty with myself that the first thought I had when I saw that he had like wonderfully come back. Or was rehabbing, was like, go get him.
Yeah, I mean, like, Chicago's already in sell mode.
I've always loved Liam Hendricks. I loved him even more once he told Josh Donaldson to fuck off. It's a great story. He's clearly, you know, a strong person based on his last year. And he's a great pitcher. And if he is anything close to what he was, they'd be fools to not go bring him back.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna go with now.
Now. Absolutely.
I don't think we need to wait for the July. I think
July is waiting for July. I'm putting that as a term. Waiting for July is for like the big deals. The moves that you can do right now to improve your squad, like trading with a bad team for a reliever, is stuff you do as soon as possible to help your team.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to get a cheap little market setter and just sort of be like, we're going to save you from this situation. I don't know if Chicago's interested in that. I think they want to have he comes back and gets a round of applause and gets a standing ovation and everything goes great. Maybe peace, but yeah, I'd be good with Liam Hendricks.
I'd love it.
Tomorrow.
I was banging that drum pretty loudly before he had to step away, so
yes,
it's not going to change now.
And you know he loves the minor league facility, which is...
That's true. it's paying off.
Interested to see if they do... I mean, I don't think they're going to make a move in May, but interested to see if they do a small adjustment sort of conversation to get around to... you know, bigger than the Jordan Luplo free agency signing. If they do like try to make a fringe thing here, I'd be interested to see if they try it.
I think if there's another week like this, like in the next 7 days, then yeah, I bet they do. Because like, you can survive the 5-game losing streak at the beginning of May. Not sure you can survive, like, we sort of talked about this last year. Like, it's tough to survive 2 or 3 of them.
It's damn shame that how the fucking division is going, because like, it's like, again, any other part of the league, and you're like, ah, they're fine. They're battling for first. They're 18-14. They're tied with the Twins, who are leading the AL Central.
Yeah,
18-14
is
tied with the Angels, who are a gaming back of the AL West.
I am enjoying that the schedule balance thing was supposed to, or was an attempt to sort of fix the imbalance. And it's only made it so much worse.
Yeah, there are only 2 teams in other divisions with better records than them. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's infuriating. So, it also does breed a bit of urgency, which is why it feels like a bigger deal that they've had a 5-game losing streak than it maybe truly is, right? You can do the, oh, they're still on pace for yada yada, and everything still looks probably fine, which it is. But again, also, there's just not as much room in the division as there normally is because everybody's playing the balanced schedule. It's annoying, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry quote tweets you saying, "Happy Star Wars Day. Nothing is actually as good as you remember it being from your childhood. And every day we creep closer and closer to death." Classic Jake. Terry wants to know, what's something from your childhood that is likely nowhere near as good as you remember it being?
Like, guilty pleasure food.
Oh, that's a good one.
So much of it is like I'm thinking of something like Dunkaroos, where like you're like, this is the best snack ever, and if you have one now, you're like, wow, that was too much sugar. I feel bad, and that was kind of gross.
The honest, yeah.
It's not, and like not even for, this is older than childhood, obviously, but I remember when I went back to Montreal to do Bad Jews the second time, I was staying in my old neighborhood when I lived there, when I went to school there. And all of the, not all of them, but like 95% of the takeout places that I went to in university, I was like, this is the best like cheap food in the world. Eating it now, it's like, wow, this sucks. It's no good.
Do you have, and that raises an interesting question for me. Do you have any like foods or like meals that you loved but are now on the like can't do this anymore like list for you? Like you just like have decided to swear them off. Like for me, for like give an example, mine is like the idea of poutine as a meal.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Where it's like, could I technically do that? Yes, but I've too many times now I have eaten a poutine as a meal and been like, I feel so terrible that I don't want to do this anymore, that I have now like made a rule that poutine as a meal is no longer a feasible thing for me. Do you have anything like that in your life?
I don't know if it's, I don't really have like a specific food, but definitely like certain amounts of food.
Challenge foods, yeah.
Not even challenge foods, just like the notion of, you know, anything more than like 2 pounds of wings now.
Mm.
Like, no chance. No chance. Or like old like McDonald's orders.
Right.
I feel like is a big one.
Where it's like competitive for some reason.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, I feel terrible. I mean, obviously I feel terrible faster because that's just what getting older is. But I don't think I really have like a specific meal. Where it's just like one thing where I'm like, I don't think I can do that anymore. Even when I punish myself with spice and I absolutely pay for it, I still like doing it.
I might be...
I definitely have stuff I shouldn't do. Let's put it that way.
I was going to say, this is scary, but I might be exiting my ice cream era.
I've never really been in one to begin with. I'm not a sweets guy.
I had ice cream recently and I was like, oh, this is so good. And then like within 10 minutes, I was like, I don't know if I can process lactose like I used to. I just straight up don't feel good. I haven't eaten this. I only ate 2 scoops, like not a outlandish amount, but I just don't feel good.
It's fair. Yeah, I'm finding spice now, like I was saying, is really hit or miss.
God, we're old. Holy.
Like, I got home a couple weekends ago on a Saturday night, and I'd eaten dinner, and I had some jerk chicken, and my Sunday was just a write-off.
Awful. Old awful.
So good, but it was just like, oh, man, I had a bad day.
Awful, awful, old, washed up. We're bad. Now, to answer Terry's question, I feel like the answer might be, like, the cartoons I enjoyed as a kid.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's probably, like, you know, yeah. or like Ace Ventura, to be very specific. pretty transphobic movie in hindsight.
Yeah, it's aged badly. But I feel like that's like not even not as good. That's just, I think that's tastes evolving and changing.
And that's culture, right? That's cultural.
Yeah.
Being a smarter person than I was. Yeah, it's probably, you're right that it's probably like the foods. It's probably candy and although that seems wrong. Candy's delicious.
Tried I had a little bit of candy the other day, and I like never eat gummy candy. And I had like four the other day, and I was like, man, shit rules.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah, Star Wars is your kickoff. Boy.
Star Wars isn't a bad one. Not that it's not good, like the originals, but like, you watch now, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just cynical now, but like, I watch now, I'm like, oh, it's fine.
The universe, the Star Wars universe, just isn't that interesting. It's been my like,
yeah,
takeaway from 8 movies and all the spinoffs that I refuse to watch because I'm just like, the universe isn't that interesting. It's.
I feel like
it's neat, also, but it's not that interesting.
This isn't necessarily childhood stuff because it didn't really exist till. But I think your point is good. Where like, I was all about the Marvel movies for a long time,
right?
And now I don't think I've watched like one in the last 3 years, and like I don't watch any of the shows. And same with Star Wars. I was obsessed with Star Wars as a kid, and then I've watched the movies that were in theaters, and that's it.
Makes sense.
Like it's just I don't know. I don't need everything to be an IP.
Yeah, it's the sad truth of the modern era, my friend.
It is. It is.
And a little bitter question for our old pal, the Count Cephalopod. Seth wants to know, who would you say is more excited about 5 months of wild card seeding? Is it Jake or is it? It is funny that like, it does already feel like wild card seeding is the only thing that's happening the rest of the year, doesn't it?
No, because I still don't believe in the other two teams.
It's
May 4th, man.
They're 8 games back.
They were 10 games back in July in 2015.
Finally, 2015 gets brought up.
There it is. Drink.
No, yes.
It's May 4th. I'm not ready to go there yet, but the answer is definitely Zoobs.
Yeah, I'm into it.
You love scoreboard watching.
I do it earlier and earlier every year. I have the standings up right in front of me now. I can't believe Baltimore is 21-10.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't like that at all.
I don't know... Let's. We can use this to ruminate. We talked about the team off the top. We talked about them vaguely here. What do you think? We've had already in a month. We had very high feelings and pretty low feelings. Now, what do you truly think in terms of how good they are? Like, where do you
the Jays?
Yeah.
I'm still kind of where I was at the start of the season, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, trying to be rational about it and taking a step back from a horrendous 5 games. Or not even a horrendous 5 games. A horrendous, like, 3 games, really. Yeah, I still think they're, like, a 93-94 win team.
I think my only... I don't know about change... I think my big concern right now is I don't know that the room for error is as big as I thought, right? Like when they were playing well, when they were hitting well and pitching well and defending well, it seemed like, okay, a bunch of things can go wrong and they'll be fine. I look at the division and I look at the schedule and I look at the players that they have. I don't know that there's a ton of room for error here. Like, obviously, they don't have to constantly be winning, but stuff like this 5-game winning streak, like you said, they can't do this that many times. Like, obviously they're going to slump and it's going to go up and it's going to go down and there's going to be struggles and there's going to be times when they excel. I am a little worried that, like, they can't let this year get away from them in the way that they let the early parts of the last 2 years get away from them, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Like, they saved their seasons in September, the last 2 years. And I don't know that, and they haven't, they don't, obviously don't have to right now because they're 18 and 14. You don't have to save that, but I don't know that you're gonna want to be in September and be like, okay, now we need to go on a run. I don't think that's the recipe this time around.
Yeah. I guess I get, yeah. It's kind of like what I was saying before, how, like, a 5-game losing streak is okay in May.
Yeah.
But a 9-game losing streak, and especially when the Rays and the Orioles are playing like they are, and then you start going like, ooh, shit.
Down to a 91 win pace, if you were wondering.
Yeah, I mean, like, and, you know, like we've said, there is a balanced schedule. They're still owed their 9-game win streak they go on every year. So I'm not super concerned, but, you know, talk to me in 7 days.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do a little reverse mailbag. We'll ask you, the audience, a question, and then we'll get out of here after this. Jake, a brisk episode this time around. We're out of here. Brisk. That's brisk, baby.
Efficiency.
Yeah, that's us.
Take the plunge. That's nasty.
That's right. The Jays, a little interleague ball for the next week. They are in Pittsburgh for 3. 6:35 starts Friday and Saturday, 1:35 on Sunday. Then they're in Philadelphia for 2 at the Phillies, 6:40 and 6:05 Tuesday, or pardon me, 4:05 Tuesday, Wednesday. And then they are at home to the Braves Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7:07, 3:07, 1:37. That's the next week and a half. I know we didn't do a reverse mailbag last week, which is totally fine. We didn't have to. We were hefty. Last week was really long. This week's really short. We had a huge mailbag last week with the 5 calls. I will put a reverse mailbag question out right now. Love to get the temperature of the audience here. Very simple question. In step with what we talked about before the break, what I'm curious to know from our audience is, has your perception of the team and this season changed at all in the last 2 weeks with the 6-game winning streak and the 5-game losing streak sandwiched back to back in the last 11 games? How has that changed, or has it not changed, your feeling, your thoughts, your idea of what this team is and what they will be over the last 2 weeks? Very interested to see if people have had, if they're riding with the highs or if they're sulking with the lows, if they feel like we've had some things revealed, or if it's just groovy, man. Thumbs up. No problem. I'm interested to see if anybody's had their opinion changed in the last little bit. I think that's my reverse mailbag call out. You like that?
I do like that. I'm also curious to hear that because, like, not to toot our own horn, but I feel like our listenership's a little
sophisticated.
Yeah, smart. They're a good group, and I'd like to get their. I like getting their checking their temperature because we get a nice mix of really smart baseball analysis and just, like, unhinged nonsense, and I love it.
Monocles on. Yeah, I'm interested to see that. That is it. We'll be back next week. We have that day off in between the Phillies and the Braves. Well, it's 5 interleague games and then another episode Monday and Wednesday and Thursday off coming up this week. So some time to rest after the bullpen has been pretty heavily taxed a little bit. Hopefully they can get back on track around the Pittsburgh Pirates. That is it for another week. If you want more of this show, patreon.com/lessthanjays. $9 tier gets you way more stuff. You get the instant reaction to games, mark it down. $5 gets you the regular episodes here extended out, an extra 10 minutes usually, 10 to 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what's going on in our lives. You also get that at the $9 tier. $3 is just to say, hey, you guys are cool and we appreciate it. Gives you permission to talk shit about us in group chats, which is very valuable. No subtweets, please. And all that and more is available at patreon.com/lessthanjays, or you can go lessthanjays@gmail.com for your mailbag stuff, or at lessthanjays on Twitter, or call us 833-714-7774. That's it for another week. We'll talk to you then. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.